ESPN.com.
But I knew that they would lose, and that's why we asked Pierre about it a couple of days ago. How you doing?
I'm good, Mitch. How are you?
All right. Tell us firsthand before we get to the Habs and Flames. Duncan Keith, -4, Duncan Keith?
Yeah. They've got some serious soul searching to do because their best players don't look like their best players, and they need Kane to be better. They need Taves to be better. They need Keith to be better. They need Seabrook to be better. They need Anisimov to be better. They just don't look like the same team. Now, listen, they've won 3 Stanley Cups. Jonathan Taves has been to a World Cup, 2 Olympics, and he's won at every single one of those things. So he's basically won 6 championships in 7 years. I mean, at some point, the odometer starts to tick. And I think they're a little bit like L.A. was last year. I think they're hockeyed out.
Wow, that's so. What do you do the rest of the year? You just give it your best shot, or you look for a spark of energy from outside, or what?
Well, that's what I mean. You may have to shake the tree to bring in some enthusiasm to try to stimulate the guys that are around. They tried it this summer, and I thought it creatively so, because Brandon Saad's been probably one of their most consistent players, which is a good thing for them. And Gustav Forsling has improved beyond belief. He's really, really improved himself. Now, that wasn't a player they drafted. They got him from Vancouver in a trade for Adam Clendenning. But I look at it, and I'm saying they've got to do something to provide a spark. And believe me, they have as much brain power or more brain power than anybody in the NHL in that front office. They'll be able to figure that out. Now they just have to act on it.
About an hour ago, speaking to us from TSN 1050 studio in Toronto, Mitch Marner of the Leafs.
I think I was like everyone on our team. We didn't really see it till after the game. I mean, I think it's just the heat of the moment of a play. I don't think anyone's really trying to hurt anyone out on the ice, but I don't know. I think it was just a rough play. I don't think he obviously wanted to do that, and probably looking back at it, he regrets doing it, but it's one of those things that you just do it in the heat of the play.
On Matthew Tkachuk's spear attempt from the bench, and he won't be in the lineup for the Flames tonight as a result, suspended for a game.
I saw it this afternoon. I didn't see it last night. I saw it this afternoon, and that merits at least one game. He's already been suspended. He plays on the edge. He's a great player. You'd want him on your team. That's just one of those young player type things that you don't want to see happen again. He'll learn his lesson. I'm sure his father was on the phone to him too, Keith, to let him know that you're a good player. We need you playing. We don't need you sitting on the bench or in the stand. So I would say that that will probably send enough of a message to him in terms of stick violations.
So the Canadiens catch a bit of a break in that regard.
They do and they don't. They do because he's not playing. They don't because that team didn't get a win last night. And again, watching the game, they deserved a much better fate than what they had.
Freddie Anderson made almost 50 saves last night.
Yeah, he was really good. So that's why I say they do and they don't. They do because they don't have to deal with Tkachuk. They don't because it's a bit of a problem. That's going to be I think they'll be an angry team, Calgary, tonight. I really do.
Okay, so just a little bit more on the, theoretically an ambush situation for Montreal. So you would rather you'd prefer to face a team that's kind of happy and comfortable after a win as opposed to angry and pissed off after a close loss?
Right. Yeah, I don't like those teams that are angry and ticked off. Ask the Winnipeg Jets about the Detroit Red Wings after they got slaughtered in Montreal. Ask them how much fun they had playing Detroit the next game. They didn't. Those games aren't fun to play.
All right. Overall, forget last night. Overall, your assessment of the Calgary Flames?
I think pretty much on mark where I thought they would be. I still think they're a little lean offensively. They need Curtis Lazar to obviously produce a little bit more than what he's doing. I think they were counting on him to do a little bit more. Goudreau's been good. They've dealt with some injury situations. But I think, by and large, pretty much kind of where I thought they'd be, battling for one of the last 2 spots. I think a lot of people are surprised by where Vegas is. Remember when I apologized to you for getting Dallas wrong? Dallas, I thought they'd be the most improved team in the league. Well, they're starting to show that now. And I think the 2 surprises probably in the West are Vegas and Vancouver being in playoff position.
So, hold on a second. What are you apologizing for?
Well, I apologize to you because I said to you at the start of the year I thought Dallas would be the most improved team in the league. And at about game 15, they were not. They were not good at all. And I said that. I said, I apologize. I got it wrong. They're not the most improved team in the league. But now it looks like they're starting to be.
Okay.
But I when you get it wrong, just say it.
And okay, but you look you look at the way they're playing, and it's they're still got a lot of time to go here.
I know,
especially with Vancouver losing Bo Horvat now.
That's a big problem. That's a big problem.
Bo Horvat broke his ankle. He's gone for, it could be, what, 6 weeks?
6 weeks. And who knows, 6 weeks, but you never know what you're getting back for this year anyways. It's such a tough injury. So I could see them slipping a little bit. I have to think Anaheim's going to put a push on now. They were pretty darn solid last night against Ottawa. I watched that game after my game was over in Washington. So you got to think they're going to put a push on. I'm waiting on Edmonton, but after watching them with Philly last night, I'm not sure that's coming. So, again, there's some teams, Calgary being one of them, that's got a legitimate chance to make some hay in the standings now.
Well, if they could add something, and you mentioned Lazar, and there's a group of players that have been around a little bit that can't score.
Right.
Right? They need some offense. Yep. Up front.
They do. You know who I like on that team, though? And I don't know how much you've watched him play, is Ferland. I think Ferland's a really good player.
Michael Ferland, yeah.
Yeah, I really like him a lot as a player. He's one of those gutsy kind of guys that gets to the net, does a lot of the dirty stuff that a lot of players, and I don't mean dirty play, just dirty stuff that people don't like to do. I could see him being a 20-goal scorer this year. I really could, maybe even a bit more. That's a really good player.
Pierre, do you know anything about their goaltender tonight, their backup, David Rittich?
No, not really.
Yeah,
no.
It's just, it's bizarre. We can't find anything on him. No, now you can apologize. All right, I want to.
750 some odd players in the league, and there are a lot of guys around the hockey world that can't keep
you,
up on all.
If you tell me, well, and I like to believe I'll study before the season starts, and periodically through the year, I'll go through every roster to see if I'm missing something, and I honestly have no idea who this kid is. So
no, and you're good in all those sports, not just hockey. So
I want to ask you a little bit about where we were yesterday, yep, in regards to Max Pacioretty, because it's still a topic of conversation, and it's gone around the National Hockey League. Can Max Pacioretty, beginning tonight, especially with the group of defensemen they're up against tonight, can he become Max Pacioretty playmaker?
He can. That's not playing to his strong suit, but he can, for sure. He's got more than enough savvy with the puck. I'd just like to see him establish his speed game to the outside and just start launching pucks on net with his quick release. And instead of going away from the net, after he shoots the puck, just trail it, follow it right to the net. Don't miss the net and trail the puck right to the net. Just follow the line of the puck right to the net. I'd like to see him do that.
See, of all the things that he said yesterday, he said, my hands feel good. I'm happy with a lot of the elements of my game. Obviously, my numbers are down. I'm skating well. That I don't see. I don't see him skating well. I saw it for two periods in Detroit, and I thought he was back. But the two games since, I don't see the typical Pacioretty stride.
I'm not seeing the same thing. So we're on the same page there. And I go back to that play when Toronto was playing in Montreal on a Saturday night, and Tyler Bozak spun away from him. In another day or another time, Max would have made that play, would have closed the gap a little quicker. He wasn't able to do it. Now, whether that was because he wasn't into it or because he just didn't have it or he's injured, I don't know. But that's how I kind of evaluate those things when I'm watching for players, whether they can make those little plays that should be routine for them normally, and they can't.
Yeah, and when he's on, like, he's so lethal off the rush, right, Pierre, especially on the off wing when he's got that opportunity, and we haven't been seeing it, as Mitch alluded to. And when it comes to him trying to embrace creativity, like, if you're the opposition, don't you want Max holding on to the puck more stationary? Isn't that to the opponent's benefit?
It makes it an easy game to play, for sure. Absolutely. That's right on the mark. So when he's moving, he's tougher to play against, and I can't see how he can't get to the net more often with the zero tolerance on slashing. I talked to Brooks Orpik about that last night, you know, because he's one of those shutdown defensemen that has to really, this is his 15th year in the National Hockey League. He's had to make a significant change in terms of how he defends, and it's not easy to do. He says the offensive players clearly have an advantage, especially the faster ones. And that's where you would think Max, with his size and his shot and his skating rod, when he's doing that movement you're alluding to, he's tough to play against. At least he should be.
Pierre, I understand the season is 82 games. It's really long. So at some point, everyone is going to deal with some kind of bump or bruise or discomfort or something that's nagging them. I get that. But at what point, I really don't know how it works. When a player is hampered by an injury, but he can play, but maybe he shouldn't be playing, he's right on that edge. What's the discussion?
So you see
like?
That, and that has been part of Pacioretty's MO since we've known him. He recovers quickly. We know that he plays through injuries. Maybe that's going on right now, which would make sense. We're talking about the skating. But to Mitch's point, at some point, like Carey Price, he admits he shouldn't have played in Minnesota after he got hurt. He said he didn't want to throw Monty under the bus, but for the betterment of the team, maybe you're better off getting away from the ice.
Remember when I used to tell you all the time, save the players from themselves?
Yeah.
I used to tell that to the trainer all the time. Save this guy. Save this guy from himself, because players are never going to tell you when they're hurt. They don't want to lose their job. They don't want to lose their ice. They don't want to lose the respect they have of their teammates. It's not really a common thing in NHL rooms for guys to say, oh, I can't play tonight, I got a hangnail. It just doesn't work that way. So you got to step in there as a trainer or medical staff, and if a guy is down and out, you got to say, hey, listen, you're not going tonight, and I'm telling the coach why. And don't worry about it. I have your back. That's where you kind of have to get to with your medical staff.
Because it's one thing for a forward whose game is speed and strength on his skates to be trying to play through something lower body.
I don't want to bring everything back to the captaincy, but that's what being a leader is. And Shea Weber is injured, and he's trying to play through, and he's down on the ice blocking shots. Now, you want Shea Weber to score goals and get that, let rip that big slapper of his, but he's stepping out of his zone as well, and because that's what leaders do. So that's what Max Pacioretty needs to do.
That is Mark Denis again of RDS, who's a regular on the morning show here with Connor McKenna and the gang. Weber clearly is being hampered by some lower leg issue, knee, whatever.
We were worried about that, though. We talked about it, you and I, and Rod and Mitch Piccolo, when he came over from Nashville, the potential for injury with him. Because I saw it happen when he was in Nashville.
Simply because of the ice time.
Because of the amount of minutes. And this is the one thing. You can ask the guys that have played in the West and played in the East. And if you're an Eastern time zone team or even a Central time zone team and you're playing in the West and you're playing a lot, especially in playoff type games, that takes a lot out of you. It's totally different than the East. Completely and utterly different. And he spent his whole career playing in the West until last year. That's hard stuff. So I knew, and that's why I said to you, I'm worried about this deal only because longevity-wise, they got older, and they got a guy he's been hurt. He's definitely been hurt.
I think a lot of our games against the Western teams were early in the season when we weren't playing well, whether it was at home or on the road. I think, we played a decent game against St. Louis, a very good team. And I think that's why we always say that we live in the present, not in the past. You can look at those stats and dwell on them, or you can look at the reality of them and say, listen, we're playing well enough right now. We should be able to play against any teams, whether it's West or East.
All right, Claude Julien, we're hearing him for the first time because, once again, no morning skate, which they are doing more and more of. They're bypassing. I guess a lot of teams
are
doing
that. Not the only team. Way to go, Mitch. Yesterday, Washington had an optional. Rangers didn't skate. When I was in Pittsburgh the other day, they had an optional skate. Rangers didn't skate, so you look at it. There's a lot of teams doing that stuff. A lot of teams doing that stuff.
Just that he's adapted well to the North American style in a short time. I think he's a smart player. Sees the ice well, defends well, and again, I think the biggest thing for him in training camp was getting used to play this style of game compared to what he's been used to his whole career. And I think he's done a great job of adapting.
So after sitting out a couple of games, not because he wasn't playing well, Jakub Jerebek gets back in tonight. Victor Mete had a tough night against St. Louis. Calgary also with a, I know people think of Johnny Gaudreau, but they've got some size on that team as well.
Oh, that's the one thing with Calgary. I mean, they're built in the ice. I know that Brad Treliving is a general manager, but Brian Burke is the president, and I've sat in draft meetings with him. I've sat in coaches' offices with him. I've worked for him. He is the king of heavy hockey. He and Ken Hitchcock, they don't like small teams. They don't like small players. But you can find the spot for a Johnny Gaudreau just because he is so talented. But if you look at, some of the size on that team, they're trying to get bigger. They're trying to get more robust. They're trying to be, a harder physical team to play against. And that's right in the way Brian Burke likes his hockey.
I'm just going to throw out a couple numbers here, people, so bear with me. There are about 1,300 NHL games in a season. Total 1,300. We've played about 500. So we're like a third-ish of the way through the year, okay? Slashing penalties. We've had 515 slashing penalties. At this point,
so you had 15 last night because you mentioned 500 yesterday.
Correct. At this point last year, we were at 185 slashing penalties. So 185 to over 500. Now, presumably, and this ratio hasn't gone down. Like, it's been pretty strong where we're like at well over twice the number of slashing penalties. So, Pierre, like, do you sense the players are starting to adjust? Is it going to continue to be this level of enforcement or what?
Some players are really adjusting well, and others, they have to slash to be able to remain competitive. It's just too hard a task for the defense. But I would say that more likely than not, you'll see the numbers of penalties for slashing go down, but I still think you'll see it called when it is done. I think the players will learn more and more about it as we go along.
The big question is, do the whistles disappear when the playoffs start?
I don't think so. Not on the slashing. There's been some games. I had Pittsburgh Rangers that I worked the other night. I said to Gord Miller, these Hudson Bay rules, there'll be no more penalties the rest of the way, and there weren't any because you could just see the officials put the whistles in the pocket for that game in particular. It had more of a playoff feel to it. But they did call slashing when they needed to earlier in the game. Like yesterday in the game I did with Washington and Chicago, they called slashing. They called, hitting from behind as well. So I would say maybe for some of the interference stuff, the whistles might go away, but for the slashing, I don't think it will.
I think actually the Montreal Canadiens defensemen have been terrific in that regard. You look at the group of defensemen, they just haven't taken penalties.
I agree. That's a good point.
It's like Weber's taken seven minors, I think. Three of them were in one game. All of them, you look at them and you go, okay, now in the old days, of course, and I know there's some hockey pools out there that still use PIM, right? As you try to build a team, your fantasy team. But in today's hockey, that's important.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I agree with that. The Montreal Canadiens team, this will be interesting tonight because, as I said, they're going to play against probably an angry team. And Montreal, obviously, is going to want to try to keep going here because they know that Boston's playing Arizona tonight. And it's, again, in order to stay in it, you got to just keep winning and getting points. And so I'm looking forward to actually watching the game. I want to see the pushback that Calgary has, and I want to see how serious Montreal is.
All right, final one on Pacioretty, Deneau, and Shaw. On the surface, they've looked good. They should be an effective line. Of course, the problem is Pacioretty's not scoring. But Phil Deneau is not scoring. He's got one goal in 18 games. And now Pacioretty, it seems, we'll see starting tonight if he's going to hang on to the puck a little more because he doesn't have Radulov setting him up or Drouin. That didn't work or whatever. I mean, Phil Deneau told Arpin Basso in The Athletic, I'm not worried about it. We're going to click. I'm not worried about it.
I hope he's right.
What do you think?
Like,
do you think
Phil
Deneau
is a player? I think Phil's good, and I've said that to you ever since they got him. The only way they're going to click is if they get stuff going off the rush. They have to get stuff going off the rush, and if they do, then it'll start to soften people up, and Max can get to work. But that's, I think, more than anything else, and not so much about the cycle, but that line, they got to get it going off the rush.
On television tonight, doubleheader, Habs and Flames. That's followed by the Senators and Kings in Los Angeles.
Ooh, that is a big moment for the Ottawa Senator. Big moment. They've gone two games now without scoring a goal.
And the Erik Karlsson pointless streak has reached double digits.
That's amazing. But I watched that game last night when I was done with ours, and just, they need Duchesne. This is where you say, what do you need? You need Duchesne and you need Brassard to go. Those two guys need to go. Go by getting competitive and scoring, because then everybody else loosens up. But without them scoring, those two in particular, everybody else tightens up, and you can see it. They're just not having a ton of fun.
Final one for you to think about, Pierre, because it changed your life. December the 7th, 1963, the first ever instant replay is used on sports TV during an Army-Navy football game. How about that?
Well, can I do one better?
Sure.
I'm going to the Army-Navy game Saturday.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
I know you love your college football, but I had no idea. I just threw that out there.
Yeah, no, that's great. I'm so looking forward to it. It's the first time I've had the privilege to go to an Army-Navy game, so I'm really excited. I'm going with a bunch of naval cadets. And I'm looking forward to that.
Stay out of trouble.
They're called midshipmen. These are former midshipmen, so they're not even cadets. They're midshipmen, and they're graduates. So, yeah.
Just stay out of trouble, huh? You don't want to get into trouble with the Army.
No. I have, you know what? A friend of mine used to be the head coach there, Rob Riley, at Army. When I coached at St. Lawrence, he coached at Army, and we ran hockey camps together, and we're really good buds. And anyways, so I said, going to the Army-Navy game, coach, and he goes, yeah. Who are you sitting with? I sit with the midshipman. He goes, oh, I don't like you right now. So that it really is that heated. It really, truly is.
Yeah, Pierre Maguire, the Benedict Arnold of hockey.
No, I'm going to be Switzerland. I'm going to bring them all together.
Okay. How was your Washington?
Thing.
How
you didn't compliment. I got the tax deal done.
You did, huh?
Well, we're no, getting close.
I don't.
It's very
did
close.
I miss something, Ron?
I think McGuire's in favor of cuts.
I do pay in both countries, just so you know.
Enjoy the games tonight. Thanks, as always. Do it again tomorrow.
Thanks a lot, Rod. Take care, Mitch Gallo.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, Jorian skated this morning lightly. Still a little bit sick. Not well enough to play tonight, but that's probably the only thing that's holding him back right now.